And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, we're doing live stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, Tempe, Arizona, Palm Springs, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Nashville, Northampton, Massachusetts, and a lot more places. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for tickets and become a premium member while you're there. You get access to all of our stuff. See you then. Hey, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
Your one and only beloved Double V.
Hey, Vince, it's great to hear you from you again. I hear you're you called in when I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, and I must say that was a terribly destabilizing experience, if I'm being perfectly honest. But you're back now. Big Daddy is back. Everything is going to be just fine, and I can stop lighting candles near your framed picture now.
Yes, I'm back.
Probably TMI, that last part. But anyway, guess what I had planned for you and me today?
What's that, buddy?
Vince Vaughn's Tinseltown Showpinions Oscar edition.
Oh, that's right. They just announced the nominees.
That's right, baby. It's Oscar season once again, and always, I have not seen a single fucking one of these flicks.
Are you serious?
Jimmy, I haven't seen a movie that I am not personally in since 1998. Everyone else can suck it.
Yeah.
However, I can guess everything I need to know about a movie just using my Hollywood superstar Spidey sense.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you got?
Well, Jimmy, let's go right to Best Picture, shall we? Just grab her by the front and start honking. Jimmy, in the year of our Lord, 2023, Top Gun 2 was nominated for Best Picture by the Academy.
No, no, no.
Yes. A move that is sure to appeal to men who still call things that they don't like gay or the word that rhymes with fatarded. Also, a nod to Avatar 2, The Way of Water, which likewise I'm sure is being celebrated in the incel community. Much more expected nominations include The Banshees of Inisherin, a movie about a guy who stops liking his friend and doesn't want to hang out with him anymore.
What?
That's the whole movie, Jimmy. That's what the movie's about.
What?
But it takes place in Ireland, so, you know, it's poignant. And
right. What else?
Well, let's see. The Fablemans.
Oh, I can't
because
get
let's
through
see what little Stevie Spielberg could do. Maybe he can pull it off again. And a movie called Women Talking. That's what it's called. Women Talking. I know nothing about that movie, and as God is my witness, I never will. That I can fucking promise you when you listen. And then there's Tar. About the mean lady who conducts symphonies and shit.
Really?
That smells like a winner to me, Jim Jam. It kind of looks good and feels right. But don't hold it to me, Jimmy. Don't hold me to it. This is purely for speculation purposes and not gambling /and/or fact purposes.
Okay, I got it.
Best actor, you got Brendan Fraser for The Whale.
Brendan Fraser coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. Which I think that this might be indicating a new trend in Hollywood, Jimmy.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, it used to be the ultimate Oscar bait performance was a person who is not mentally handicapped playing a mentally handicapped person.
Right.
But that's no bueno in 2023. So the new trend will be non-morbidly obese actors playing morbidly obese people in fat suits. The fact that The Whale was also nominated for Best Makeup dovetails with this very nicely, so I'm predicting this fat suit trend will be red hot, baby, red hot, until it is canceled in probably November or December.
Right. I didn't know that. Right, okay.
Yeah, you don't know anything about these movies either. That's what's great.
Yeah.
And we also have young up-and-comer Austin Butler for his portrayal of Elvis Presley in Elvis.
They did an Elvis movie?
Sure to delight your great aunt who always wears really sparkly shit, who got horny watching that dumb movie.
I didn't even know they did an Elvis movie. Okay, what about best...
Wow, you are really out of it.
What about best actress?
I could just completely make shit up.
Yes.
Right now. You wouldn't know.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, best actress. Jim's, this is where it really gets exciting.
Really?
Nah, not really. A couple of broads I've never heard of. Plus, you know, Cate Blanchett for playing the mean symphony lady. Oh, also Ana de Armas for her portrayal of Marilyn Monroe in Blonde.
Oh, really?
Yes, and hats off to that choice, in my humble opinion. If Anna doesn't win an Oscar, she could count on winning a Mr. Skin Award. That much I can assure you. Truly a stellar performance that I personally have only seen very short clips of, but multiple times.
Okay, Vince.
But the main chatter with the ladies is the fact that no women were nominated for Best Director. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Some are saying that this is a disgrace. But I'm saying maybe they should have directed harder. Like, did a better job? Did they ever think of that?
No comment, Vince.
And to no one's surprise, the movie I produced this year, Christmas with the Campbells, was completely passed over by the Academy. God forbid a fun, lighthearted holiday comedy gets thrown a bone by Hollywood.
Yeah, it's usually not the type of movie that gets nominated for Oscars, Vince.
Yeah. I know, and that's why the Oscars suck. It's a bunch of movies that no one has seen and no one gives a shit about. Until that changes, I'm going to absolutely clown on Hollywood's most pretentious night. Are you with me? Are you with me, Jimmy Baby?
I am, Vince.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll check back with you after Oscar night to see if how the festivities actually go down. Ooh, maybe someone will get slapped.
Yeah.
Maybe someone will catch COVID. Who knows? But you'll get the dish right here on Vince Vaughn's Tinseltown Show Opinions. Until next time, bitches.
Establishment media sucks. All gaslighting, so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why fomenting this? Watch and see as a jack off the median speeds and jumps the medium and hits them head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
It's Aaron Mate, everybody. You know him. He's a New York-based journalist who hosts a new show, Pushback, for The Gray Zone. And his writing appears at his Substack at mate.substack.com. Please welcome Aaron Mate. Hey, Aaron.
Jimmy, good to see you.
Good to see you. Now, the reason why I had you on today is because this. McCarthy ejects Adam Schiff and Swalwell from the Intelligence Committee. And so here is Adam Schiff. Now, if you don't know who Adam Schiff is, he was the leading guy doing Russiagate. He was the head of the Intelligence Committee in the House, and he led those hearings, and he was the biggest pusher of Russiagate there was. He tweeted this out: Kevin McCarthy just kicked me and Representative Swalwell off the Intelligence Committee. This is petty political payback for investigating Donald Trump. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. If he thinks this will stop me, he will soon find out just how wrong he is. I will always defend our democracy. If he thinks this will stop you from what? Serving on a committee? That happened already. So here, well, Glenn Greenwald says, yes, Adam Schiff, that's the whole point. You are free to keep lying from other committees. What you can't do any longer is abuse your power as House Intel Chair to leak to Mr. M.K. Raju and other, oh, that is the guy at CNN? Who is that? And others impose the credibility that that position, look at this, though, by the way. Let's do a poll, shall we? Do you think Adam Schiff deserves to be kicked off the Intelligence Committee? That's underneath Adam Schiff's tweet. That's not on this guy's Twitter. That's on Adam Schiff's tweet.
Oh, my God.
93% said yes. 93%. Well, if you think that poll is going to stop him, you should know he's already been stopped, and he still isn't letting it stop him. So here's Kevin McCarthy. He was asked about this yesterday, about kicking them off the Intelligence Committee, him and Representative Swalwell. And here's what he had to say.
Intel Committee. Is Santos on the Intel Committee? Am I allowing Schiff to be on other committees? Go right ahead.
because you have direct power over it. You also will be able to create for your whole house, a couple other Democrats perhaps. But you said that lying to us is something that means you should be removed from the committee. Why is it not a factor?
Well, let me be very...
This is a man who should not be on committee.
He's gotten elected by his district, so... Okay, let me be very clear and respectful to you. You ask me a question. When I answer it, it's the answer to your question. You don't get to determine whether I answer your question or not, okay? In all respect. Thank you. No, let's answer her question. You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the Intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on intel, because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first, all right? And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on Intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel Committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee. And I believe there's 200 other Democrats that can serve on that committee. So this has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel Committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters too, and they'll serve on committees, but they will not serve on a place that has national security reverence.
So let me bring in award-winning journalist Aaron Maté, who has won an award for his meticulous debunking of Russiagate, which is what he's referring to there. Adam Schiff prosecuting the Russiagate case, even though he knew it wasn't true and he lied. So, Aaron, what would you like to say about Kevin McCarthy there?
Schiff is hands down the biggest and most dangerous liar in Congress. The policies that he's pursued, the agenda he's pursued, have been terrible for the U.S. and terrible for the world. I think the agenda he has major responsibility for this current crisis in Ukraine. Let's recall what Schiff has done. First of all, after 2016, when Hillary Clinton lost, what Democrats should have been doing is reflecting on why. Namely, that Hillary Clinton represented a corrupt wing of the party and that they had been caught conspiring against the populist candidate that they had, Bernie Sanders. Adam Schiff helped deflect from all that by basically blaming Clinton's loss on Russia and then claiming that there was a sweeping Trump-Russia conspiracy plot, elevating that to be the top issue for Democrats after 2016. And what did Adam Schiff do to advance that? He lied. He claimed in March 2017, he went on Meet the Press and said that he had seen from his position on the House Intelligence Committee, he had seen more than circumstantial evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, which, of course, he couldn't tell us about because it was classified.
So let me,
that's what he claimed to have seen.
Let me play that. Here is Adam Schiff lying, pretending he has information he doesn't have.
All you have right now is a circumstantial case. Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars,
ever.
But there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think
so you Director have Clapper, seen direct evidence of collusion.
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation. So that is what we ought to do. Now, again, I think we...
All you have right now is a circumstantial case.
So that's it. So there he said he has more evidence than... So he's saying, I have some secret info. I'm the head of the Intel committee. I'm the chair. I have secret info that I can't give to you, but it's not circumstantial. It's definite evidence that Trump colluded with Russia. He never produced that, did he, Aaron?
No, he didn't. That was March 2017, so nearly 6 years ago. We still haven't seen it. And it was a complete abuse of his position on the House Intel Committee. He's outright lying. He's doing serious damage because he's claiming basically that he has secret evidence that the president is a Russian agent. And this fueled this mania we saw that consumed the country that had huge consequences on the world, that the president of the U.S. was compromised by Russia and that Robert Mueller was going to get to the bottom of it. He misled millions of gullible liberals into believing that once the collusion was found, then the Trump presidency would be over. And that basically led everyone to ignore Trump's actual policies, ignore building an actual resistance movement, to sitting back and let Robert Mueller do the work, which of course failed spectacularly. So Adam Schiff lied. He then lied, as Kevin McCarthy mentioned, about this Nunes memo, which was written early on in Russiagate, and just pointed out the fact that the FBI deceived the FISA court in relying on the Steele dossier, which is the collection of Clinton-funded conspiracy theories alleging a huge conspiracy between Trump and Russia. The FBI relied on that to get surveillance warrants on a Trump campaign volunteer named Carter Page. Nunes, Devin Nunes, who was then the ranking Republican on the House Intelligence Committee, wrote a memo just pointing this out. And Adam Schiff came out and said that Nunes was wrong, that the Steele dossier played a minor role in the FBI's surveillance warrant applications. And when the surveillance warrant applications were released, finally, that was shown to be a blatant lie. But what Schiff did in claiming that Nunes was lying is he gave the media fodder to basically ignore the Nunes memo and downplay it. And now we know from the Twitter files, which Matt Taibbi has recently released, that Schiff meanwhile was pressuring Twitter to validate his claim that like calls on social media to release the Nunes memo were all the product of Russia. So, for example, there was a hashtag saying release the memo, and Nunes was pressuring Schiff was pressuring Twitter to say that all of this came from Russia.
And so here he is. So here he is reading this Steele dossier into the congressional record.
Carter Page back from Moscow. Also,
so this is what you were just talking about, Carter Page. Now, the FBI lied in their application for a FISA warrant. Now, that's a completely screwy process. The FISA court, you don't get to the... Anyway, so FBI lied to the FISA judge so they could get a warrant on Carter Page, who was working for the Trump campaign. And so once you get that warrant, they can now... It's called a two-hop rule. So now they can put a tap on not only Carter Page's phone, but anybody Carter Page talks to, and then anybody that person talks to. So that means everybody inside the Trump administration or his campaign at that time. So Trump was actually telling the truth when he said that Obama is tapping my phone, because the FBI, under Obama's purview, did. And so here he is reading into the record a bullshit lie that was in the Steele dossier about Carter Page. And who paid for that Steele dossier? The Hillary Clinton campaign. And who lied for a year that they funded that Steele dossier? The Hillary Clinton campaign lied for a year straight to the FBI that they funded that thing. Okay, now here we are.
Carter Page, back from Moscow, also attends the convention. According to Steele, it was Manafort who chose Page to serve as a go-between for the Trump campaign and Russian interests.
Go ahead, Aaron.
So that's just a straight-up lie, a work of fiction that Schiff is reading into the congressional record as if it's serious. And he's covering up here for a huge scandal. As you said, the FBI relied on the Steele dossier to spy on Carter Page. The Steele dossier was funded by the Clinton campaign. The FBI needed to hide that from the FISA court, or else they wouldn't be able to get a warrant to spy on Carter Page. So they lied. Then Nunes wrote a memo pointing this out. They were lying about that. Schiff then wrote a memo claiming that Nunes was lying, which was, of course, was a lie. And now Schiff is going further and also putting such credibility in the Steele dossier that he's reading it into the congressional record as if it's serious intelligence and not a complete fabrication. And we hear often every single day nonstop about the threat of disinformation, the threat of Russian propaganda. Here is Schiff reading straight up Russiagate disinformation, Russiagate propaganda into the congressional record. It's an unbelievable scandal that he's never been held to account for, really, until now, by being kicked off the Intel Committee.
So if you, again, if you lie at the behest of the establishment, which is what he's doing, there's never a price to pay. But if you told the truth about that, you could get kicked off of social media, YouTube, for sure, right? So that's the Absolutely. That's what we've been up against here. Like, lies like that are okay with Google and YouTube. Of course, they are the establishment. They are the military industrial complex. They are the CIA. They are the FBI. Twitter files are teaching us that. Twitter was riddled with FBI people that worked there. The FBI was giving Twitter millions of dollars and then dictating policy at Twitter because of it. So I can only imagine the nefarious shit that's happening at YouTube and Google. Here he is.
Hey, Jimmy, listen, during this period, Schiff, as the Twitter files reveal, Schiff is pressuring Twitter directly to validate Russiagate, to suppress voices that are critical of it, to hide damning information that exposes it as a scam. And meanwhile, by the way, what he also did, he backed an effort to get Devin Nunes removed from the House Intelligence Committee's Russia investigation because he brought like this phony ethics complaint. So Devin Nunes accurately exposed that the FBI was lying about its reliance on the Steele dossier. So how did Schiff and others respond? They got Devin Nunes removed. So this is what these people do. They silence anyone willing to tell the truth about their scams. They silence them.
So here's a little bit more of him reading from that completely debunked Steele dossier, which was nothing more than campaign propaganda paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Here we go.
Also, according to Steele's Russian sources, the campaign is offered documents damaging to Hillary Clinton, which the Russians would publish through an outlet that gives them deniability, like WikiLeaks. The hacked documents would be in exchange for a Trump administration policy that de-emphasizes Russia's invasion of Ukraine and instead focuses on criticizing NATO countries for not paying their fair share. Policies which, even as recently as the president's meeting last week with Angela Merkel, have now presciently come to pass.
So, Aaron, go ahead.
Well, listen, this is a fascinating clip for many reasons. First of all, when Schiff claimed that Steele had Russian sources, that's a lie right there. Steele had no Russian sources except for one Russian expat named Igor Danchenko, who wasn't in Russia. He was living in Washington, D.C., after having worked at the Brookings Institute, a major D.C. think tank. So Danchenko didn't have any access to Kremlin insiders. He had access to his drinking buddies, who he told the FBI during this period that they embellished all these claims that he gave Steele to go into the Steele dossier. So those were Steele's supposed Russian sources that Schiff is citing here. Okay, but that's not the most embarrassing part and dangerous part. Then Schiff goes on to say that Steele warned in his dossier that Russia and Trump had made this deal where Trump was going to go soft on Russia's invasion of Ukraine in exchange for Russia's help by releasing stolen documents via WikiLeaks. Now, Schiff is speaking in March 2017. So he's not talking about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, obviously, in 2022. What he's referring to is the civil war that broke out in Ukraine after the 2014 U.S.-backed coup, in which Russia assisted rebels in the east of Ukraine who rose up against that coup. And that is referred to by people like Schiff as Russia's invasion of Ukraine, even though it was simply Russia supporting a rebellion that was sparked by the U.S. backing the overthrow of the Ukrainian government. But this clip captures how dangerous Russiagate has been, and that when Schiff was saying stuff like this, he was normalizing in the eyes of liberals that it's a good thing that the U.S. is using Ukraine for a proxy war against Russia. And instead of supporting a peace agreement like that, like the one that was reached with the Minsk Accords in 2015, we should be worried because Trump and Russia have made a secret deal to take Russia's side in the Ukraine proxy war. And therefore, as logic goes, we should be fueling our support for the Ukraine proxy war and ramping up weapons deliveries. And that's why when Trump briefly paused those weapons deliveries in 2019, Schiff led the drive to impeach Trump over that. Now, Schiff's claim was that Trump had frozen the weapon shipments to Ukraine to compel Ukraine to help investigate Joe Biden. As I pointed out, no linkage was ever established. But what that whole impeachment saga did solidify in liberals was that we need to fuel this proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. And that's why Adam Schiff said in his opening statement at the impeachment trial that the U.S. aids Ukraine so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia over here. And fast forward to 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine to end that fight that Adam Schiff was fueling.
And so I hope the weird thing is watching Russiagate from my vantage point and watching Adam Schiff being propped up by the corporate media because he's lying, not because he's telling the truth, because they needed to shape the narrative. And that's all they have left is narrative control, because if people knew the truth about Russiagate, they would be upset at the Democratic Party and they would demand change from their government. But if they kept you distracted with Trump is a Russian, they don't have to talk about any of that stuff. And they can keep you afraid of a foreign enemy instead of the real enemy, which is the corporate takeover of your government, which has already happened 40 years ago. So that's all Russiagate is. That's all the current hating on Trump is. That's all this is to keep you from looking at the actual economic crime that's been committed against the working class in this country by both parties. And now it's led to a war in Ukraine that Americans are so stupid, they have no memory. They don't understand the same thing happened in Iraq. The same thing happened in Libya. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan doing the same thing. We just spent a couple years in Syria. We're still in Syria. We're occupying Syria. And we're upset at Russia for occupying another country on its border. We're occupying a country across the goddamn globe from us to steal their oil. and we have righteous indignation. Somehow we're better than Russia, who invaded another country to stop people from being bombed. So that's the thing that Americans don't know. And it's just good to see that, I thought the way McCarthy handled that reporter was fantastic. And by the way, I hate Kevin McCarthy. I'm not a big fan of his. They're all horrible. The corporate media is definitely complicit in gaslighting the American people 100% about most things important. The biggest thing would be war. The second thing would be Russiagate. The third thing would be COVID. Anything you'd like to say to Adam Schiff getting kicked off the Intel community?
Yeah. You just captured what, from the point of view of neocons in Washington, what a perfect scam Russiagate was. It was perfect because, as you pointed out, it distracted Americans from addressing inequality, the oligarchy in this country, which these people are all servants of domestically. But then also, it solidified liberal support for their foreign policy project, which is to try to weaken and maybe even cause regime change in Russia and increase U.S. hegemony around the world, for which Ukraine is a prime project, because it's always been recognized that if you can bring Ukraine into the Western orbit, that will force Russia to react, and that will force Russia to expend a lot of resources and force Russia to bleed itself, as Russia is doing right now in Ukraine. So Russiagate was the perfect scam for these forces. And those people in the media who went along with this and who attacked us for challenging it, and who attacked us when we pointed out that Russiagate was not only the dumbest conspiracy theory of all time, it was also the most dangerous, because it was fueling a climate in which diplomacy with Russia was now something to be shunned and confrontation with Russia was something to be encouraged, as Adam Schiff was a major exponent of. And this has proven to be exactly correct, and we're seeing the consequences right now with this war in Ukraine. And all those people who either bought into Russiagate or pretended as if they were too cool for school and couldn't be bothered with it should reckon right now with what they either ignored or what they even cheered for. It's been disastrous for everything that progressives stand for, and it's getting worse. I mean, just this week, the German foreign minister said that we are at war against Russia, and all of us are going to pay the consequences of that.
Something scary I want to show everybody. When I was looking up this on Twitter, I found out Eric Swalwell follows me. I don't follow him. He follows me like, uh-oh. Are those guys... So he's on the Intel committee. Those guys are looking into me. Is that what they're doing? Trying to get my tweet suppressed? I bet they are. Hey, you know, here's another great way you can help support the show is you become a premium member. We give you a couple of hours of premium bonus content every week, and it's a great way to help support the show. You can do it by going to jimmydorecomedy.com, clicking on Join Premium. It's the most affordable premium program in the business, and it's a great way to help put your thumb back in the eye of the bastards. Thanks for everybody who was already a premium member, and if you haven't, you're missing out. We give you lots of bonus content. Thanks for your support. I'm here with Americans comedian Kurt Metzger, Steph Zamorano, and our guest today is Dan Cohen. He's an independent journalist and filmmaker based in Washington, D.C. He's reported from Israel, Palestine, Latin America, the U.S.-Mexico border for outlets like Mondewise, The Nation, Alternate, The Gray Zone, Al Jazeera, English, and Vice News. He recently launched his own journalistic outlet called Uncaptured Media. Welcome back to the show, Dan Cohen. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Good. So you have this article at Uncaptured Media. It says, former Pentagon official says many more bags needed to achieve regime change in Russia. Now, this is, we're going to, so
body bags.
Body bags. So during an appearance at a January 11th Council on Foreign Relations event called What to Worry About in 2023, Executive Director of the McCain Institute, Evelyn Farkas, was asked by Fox News chief national security correspondent Jennifer Griffin which countries might be overthrown in 2023. Let's watch the fun.
Evelyn, are you seeing any places that you think regimes are faltering? We have a lot of authoritarian leaders out there. If you look from, you're looking at a regime in Iran that is looking a little unstable. Putin, are you seeing any signs of cracks in terms of stability there? Could that be a surprise, you know, a 2023 surprise? North Korea, any place that you're looking at in terms of a potential regime change that could destabilize a region or the world?
Well, obviously a big one would be Russia, but I don't think they're on the precipice there. I think things have to get worse economically, and there have to be many more body bags and frankly, military losses before there's a change in the government in Moscow.
Evelyn.
Wow. Dan, she just says it. She just said, it's got to be a lot more body bags. We got to somehow get the, we have to wait till we get a lot more body bags. So we got to kill a lot more people.
You have goals.
You got to have a goal. So tell people who she is and what her background is, Dan.
Evelyn Farkas, now she's the director of the McCain Institute, you know, keeping the spirit of
war going.
The spirit of dead John McCain alive, sadly. But she has been, she's basically an Obama era Pentagon official. She was the undersecretary for Russia, Ukraine from 2012 to 2015. So she oversaw basically right after the coup that her counterpart in the State Department, Victoria Nuland, and Joe Biden, it was vice president, oversaw. She basically started arming the Azov battalion, getting the U.S. to train them, getting hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, which is a pittance compared to what's going to Ukraine now. But it started that flow. That was from her getting that money into Ukraine from the U.S. and kind of beginning its transformation from, you know, Russia aligned post-Soviet state to like the freak show Nazi infested state that it is now. And she left in 2015 because Obama didn't want to send lethal weapons to Ukraine. And then also that was at the same time as the Syria red lines, the chemical weapons attack that was staged by the opposition. That Obama declined to intervene and, you know, carry out regime change in Syria. And so there was this kind of neocon exodus in 2015 from the Obama administration. And she went into the think tanks, Atlantic Council, et cetera, et cetera. And now she's at the McCain Institute. But she was interviewed at the Council on Foreign Relations, which that is the premier think tank in Washington. That's above the Atlantic Council. That is like the most prestigious think tank. So it's pretty remarkable what she said, I think, for a number of reasons. Because one, she admitted that we're not about to overthrow Russia. You know, if you look at her op-eds in the Boston Globe is one of them. I mean, and the same thing that all of the hawks in Washington are saying is that just one more weapon shipment, that's going to give Ukraine what it needs to defeat the Russians, and we're going to stick it to Putin finally, and Ukraine's going to be victorious. But she, in the comfort of the Council on Foreign Relations, she admits it, that that's totally bogus, that we're not about to see regime change, and the only way for that to happen is a lot more economic suffering, body bags, and she's, you know, just people dying. Presumably she's talking about Russian soldiers, but, you know, obviously that's Ukrainians too. And you know, just more death and suffering.
That's, just casually, that's, well, we're gonna need some more body bags. Check, body bag. Check. Yeah. More dead babies. Check. More dead people. Check.
Ooh, more. Maybe we'll get a surprise. A 23 surprise.
I mean, the way these people talk about that is the most bizarre. And you know, that idea. Remember when they used to say, "Well, if women ran the world, we wouldn't have any more wars."
Yeah,
women are fucking psychopath, maniac, bloodthirsty killers, just like men. And there's proof of it right there. Just casually flipping. How we get regime change in Russia? A lot. It's going to take a lot more body bags. Just like that. Hey, could you pass the tea? It's going to take a lot more body bags. Boy, get some sugar in here. Oh, that's great. Just like, not like it's nothing.
Not since John Stewart was talking to Condoleezza and Hillary, have I seen such
casualness at death,
casual war pickery
at mass death. Yeah. Well, Dan, I appreciate you bringing that clip to our attention. That is mental, and those are the kind of people who are making these decisions today. People don't realize that we're being led by literal psychopaths. That's a psychopathic thing to say. That's not something someone normal would say. And that's like the banality of evil.
That's how you get into the best think tank in the country. That's like the best psychopaths.
That's right.
The classiest psychopaths.
Classy. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, one of the things that, you know, it took me a little bit of kind of thinking about that clip to realize is that if we're not about to overthrow Russia, which is obvious to anyone who's paying attention to this,
we are not,
and any of the Syria, you know, the real military experts who are, you know, who talk about this stuff, you know, what is going on here? And I think it's not only just, yeah, you know, get money for the military industrial complex, but it's basically destroy Europe, deindustrialize Europe. And if you look at what just happened at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Samantha Power, the USAID director, was there appearing with the Ukrainian Minister of Digital Transformation, which, you know, what the hell is that? That's all about implementing the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset. And Ukraine is a laboratory for that whole thing. So basically, they need to burn Ukraine down by having it, you know, basically pushed up against Russia and Russia forced to defend itself. And then they can implement this whole thing where, you know, they have like vaccine passports rolled out. They have a digital ID, all of this stuff. Every aspect of Ukrainians' lives are now controlled through their smartphone, which is what they want to export around the world. And that's what Samantha Power was just in Davos promoting, saying, oh, here's, you know, millions more dollars, because now we're going to export this. The next country is Estonia. So that's something I'm going to be investigating coming up. But, you know, that's, I think, a major aspect of this Ukraine war, that obviously the U.S. wants regime change in Russia. But, you know, it's not so – the U.S. knows, the planners know that sending, you know, these tanks, sending Patriot missiles – is not really going to achieve it, you know, keeping this little drip. It's just going to prolong the war and get Ukraine destroyed and dismembered so they can rebuild it with BlackRock and JP Morgan and Klaus Schwab's, you know, Great Reset in this totally kind of digital dictatorship dystopian image where, you know, you are reduced to your smartphone and you can just be cut off from services at any time if you belong, you know, if you have some kind of thought crime. As you know, of course, Zelensky's banned all the opposition.
That's right.
Labor unions, all that stuff. So like, that's the future that they want, not only in Ukraine, in Europe, but, you know, here. That's what we're looking at. So
we want to thank China for leading the way.
That's Klaus Schwab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So this is the guy who does that Dilbert cartoon. Everybody loves Dilbert.
Yeah. Anybody who's taken a dump and somebody had a collection of his thumb through a Dilbert.
So he was very pro. So he's very much like me, like I am in my shadow. He's very smug all the time. He's very condescending all the time. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room all the time. And so all the things that I deny about myself and I put in my unconscious, he has it right on the surface. Mm-hmm. So good for him.
Where does he live? Does he live in New York, you think? Or is he in a...
I think he lives most of the time halfway up his ass. But here we go. So here he is. He called people who question the COVID narrative anti-vaxxers, which is a very lazy thing to do. But he does it. And so here he is. And when I first saw this, I thought, like, good. He's admitting he was wrong. And I'm not endorsing any medical facts he says in this video.
Is he admitting he's wrong? I don't know.
Well, let's watch. Yeah. So let's watch.
Having said as clearly as possible that the anti-vax people seem to be the winners, I want you to hear that clearly. The anti-vax people appear to be the winners.
Okay. who knows? So the anti-vaxxers are the winners is what he's saying. First of all, most of the anti-vaxxers are not anti-vax.
Right.
That was just an insult for people who got injured and they didn't keep their mouths shut. That's what that was.
Yeah. Well, and you won.
And yeah.
And Scott's big enough to admit it.
And by the way, it's
why is he making this stupid?
Oh my god!
Look at him.
And you won.
Yeah. Are you happy? Scott's telling you won. I let him say it clearly. Look at behind him. He drew a chart.
Yeah, he was doing. He's doing like game theory, right? Is that what
that's
that is?
That's how I take it. That's like game theory. Who
knew Scott Adams had such a beautiful mind starring Russell Crowe as Dilbert?
Did anybody see a beautiful mind?
So secondly, it's not a win, Scott. If Scott wanted to say it correctly, he could say people who thought there might be an issue with the entire narrative around COVID were right. Not anti-vaxxers were right. People who were skeptical of the official establishment narrative around COVID, and for good reason. But he just calls them, I wish he would address this using Dilbert strips. Right? I'm sorry, Scott. Why don't you write a Dilbert where Dilbert files a freedom of information request for the vax data? How about that? And then, boy, imagine his chagrin.
Yeah.
When they tell him it's going to be 75 years.
Dilbert. His boss with the triangle hair comes out and tells him.
So let's listen to what he says.
The anti-vaxxers clearly are the winners at this point, and I think it'll probably stay that way. And I don't want to put any shade on that whatsoever. They came out the best.
Believe me. There's a lot of shade coming.
They came out the best?
Believe me. Right. I know. No, it's...
Are you telling me Albert Bourla is an anti-vaxxer?
So, believe me, I was encouraged when I heard him say that, but believe me, he's going to throw shade. And I'll show you that in a second. Here we go.
The winning position. The unvaccinated have a current advantage. Because they feel better. The thing they're not worrying about is what I have to worry about, which is, I wonder if that vaccination 5 years from now, because really the anti-vaxxers, I think, were really just distrustful of big companies and big government. That's never wrong. It's never wrong to distrust government. It's never wrong to distrust big companies.
Right? What? Except
so
when
if
I'm
you
scared.
Just took the position, let's just distrust everything the government did, well, you won.
So it's never wrong to do that. You said it was.
You see, game theory, this is why I said that, because he's like, and you want, like, It's not a game,
right.
Stupid.
It wasn't a, right. It's not a game, and it wasn't about winning or losing. It was about why can't we have a normal debate about science, like science is supposed to work. Why do we have to be censoring people who have different conclusions and who have different data?
Because Dilbert's that big of a pussy, and you won. You have to kick him when he's down.
Here we go.
You won. You won completely.
I'll get you next time.
I did not end up in the right place. Agree? You would all agree with that, right? I did not end up in the right place. The right place would be natural immunity, no vaccination. You should take victory, and I should take defeat. We can agree on that, right? That my position is now the weakest, and your position has gone from the weakest to the strongest.
What? And you want to give, like, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he pulls this off. He's managing to say he was 100% wrong, right, and we were 100% right, and he still comes off having you, somehow we're agreeing with him. You agree with me, right? Wait a minute. No, we disagreed with you. Stop fucking trying to make it look like you're somehow still right.
Look, if you haven't been able to internalize it properly, like, maybe wait to post. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so insane what he's doing. Like,
it's insane.
Have this fit before you go on camera and make a chart behind yourself of it. Or say it through a Dilbert. I don't understand.
Say it through a Dilbert.
Been 20 years for Dilbert.
Come on.
Dilbert, and that. This is like if George R. R. Martin, in addition to not finishing that book, was dicking around on YouTube about vaccines.
Save it for a very, save it for a Dilbert, hashtag a very special Dilbert.
Yeah. Hashtag.
I think that should be the title.
So let's listen to more.
That we can just say that's true. The people who didn't get vaxxed are absolutely in the winning position.
Oh, hashtag a very special Dilbert.
You win. You are the winners. You are the winners.
He just keeps saying this.
Let me say that part with no ambiguity.
Okay, so.
You won.
It's still kind of ambiguous how you keep saying that.
All of my fancy analytics got me to a bad place. All of your heuristics, don't trust these guys, it's obvious, totally worked.
You dork. Okay. I mean, that is a great comic, actually, Dilbert, because that is like kind of a perfect name of like Dilbert.
Dilbert.
Yeah, like he had something going.
So this person made a great point. I think he missed the point. I don't see winners or losers. I see people that have been lied to, people that are now terminally injured and worse, dead, nothing to celebrate, and I'm unvaccinated.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? I guess one side of...
So he said the correct position. I have to correct him, too, for YouTube. He said that the correct position was the no vax and natural immunity. But the vaccine, as you and I know, Kurt, is safe and effective, and it will keep you from being severely ill or hospitalized or death. And it will slow the spread and contraction of the virus. So we know that. I'm just reporting what he's saying.
And also, I'd like to debunk the rumors that one side of Justin Bieber's face won and one lost because of that. There's nothing.
I can just see Justin Bieber. You happy? You won. You won. You win. Yeah. My paralyzed side of my face wins.
That is not.
This side of my face was clearly wrong.
I don't know. Elon couldn't say on Twitter that he lost.
So when I saw that video of Scott Adams, I was like, oh, good. I put together a segment patting him on the back for doing that. I don't like him referring to people who questioned the COVID narrative as anti-vax because they're not. Or some of them are, but people like us aren't. Most people who are questioning it weren't or are not anti-vax. But then I went to his Twitter feed and he starts saying shit like this. It was a coin flip and some guessed right.
What, those of us who invested in Pfizer?
So what he's saying is, hey, he didn't really get it wrong. He just got unlucky. It was a coin flip and you guys got lucky this time. And next time he could have got lucky. It's not because he's dumb or that he's wrong or that he wasn't properly skeptical.
Hold on a minute. We've come a long way from science and trusting the science to it was a coin flip. that's how science works? That sounds very similar to
He's got a whiteboard with fucking game theory behind it, but then it turns out to be I was like, oh, at least he has the integrity and character to admit he was wrong, which he does, but then he backtracks.
I didn't think he admitted he was wrong with any character. It sounded like he was trying to desperately say he's not wrong while he...
Yes, that's what I said. It sounds like
he finally got to this part.
He finally got here.
I got it. It was not a coin flip, Scott.
So then he says, you guessed? He said, guess? People's guessed. People guessed right. He said, guess. He says, we're in a hindsight phase. Whoever was certain during the fog of war is claiming genius now. No, weren't certain.
Just smarter than Scott Adams.
Yeah, we were. But we were certain that you couldn't be certain about what you were saying. That's what we were certain about. And we were certain that the things they were saying were lies.
To the projection.
Like the fact that you could vaccinate your way out of this pandemic, I knew was a lie in early 2021. So that was almost 2 years ago. I knew that. And people still don't know that. So again, go ahead. You want to say something?
What's so crazy is, like, you could tell how his brain, it's like that projecting thing that you keep talking about.
Yes.
How he thinks is, the whole time when he was sneering at anyone, like, as if you're a moron to even think.
Yes.
There could be a problem with this.
That's right.
And so he was claiming genius, and that's what you're doing when you're making a chart of real basic shit. Like,
basic shit.
You don't need to make a chart about.
Yes.
So he imagines, like, great, now I'm not the official genius. I have a picture of a brain in my profile.
Well, here's one more.
The fog of war. War on who?
This guy says, early on, I saw a stat that said the vaccine hesitant were largely those with no education and those with postgraduate degrees. Said differently, coin flippers and those who knew better. He says, I'll bet college professors have the highest vax rate. So
they don't want to be fired. They don't want to lose their positions.
Yeah, that's right. Because they're mandated to be. Our friend in Florida, Tim Canova, almost lost his job over it. That's why they're high.
Second only to truckers from Canada.
That's right. By the way, the truckers in Canada had a higher rate of vaccination than the general population. The truckers. Hey, I don't want to be a winner. I wish I was wrong. So many family and friends have been injured by this. It's devastating. Now, those injuries are rare. So I have to tell you what the YouTube science is, that there are adverse events, but those are rare. It was never a competition. Some drank the Kool-Aid, some didn't. And the Kool-Aid drinkers berated everyone else for 2 years. Jobs were lost, relationships were destroyed, families torn apart, and people lost their lives. The only winners are in Davos. I like how he spells it with a C instead of a K, because that's how you spell Kool-Aid, with a K.
Oh, that's right.
Why do you think they spelled it with a K?
I don't know. It wasn't Kool-Aid either. It was like Weiler's or something.
No, there's Kool-Aid and then there's Weiler's.
No, I mean that Jim Jones drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, they drank Weiler's?
Maybe it wasn't. I don't want to besmirch the Weiler's sugar drink name, but it wasn't actual Kool-Aid. It was some cheap brand.
Give me some Razzles. They're a whole candy store in a package. So there's Scott Adams. There's at least he admitted it, kind of, but then he's like, you guys got lucky.
And that's such a, like, beyond anything politics or anything, that's such a arrogant, like, Sam Harris level of arrogant, not as smart as you think you are, energy from him. Like, were you just drawing charts and you think that means you're smart?
I don't know, but.
You know, some smart people do. They figure.
So if you're a critical thinker, he calls you anti-vax. If you are properly skeptical of Big Pharma and the government as captured by Big Pharma, then you're an anti-vaxxer. You're not a critical thinker.
Isn't he like, I don't want to know if it's specifically conservative, but he's on the conservative end where.
You would think. That's what I think he is. I think he's a libertarian. I could be wrong about all that, go by me.
I think he didn't like Trump, right? And there was like a hatred of these people you imagine are Trump people that are injured. You know, they made it, even though Trump was a real pro-vaccine guy.
Trump wants credit.
Who would like credit for it?
The warp speed.
I think it's just mixing up your other hates and superiorities, you know?
Yes.
You know, hey, if I'm the guy that fucking invented Dilbert, I'm going to think pretty highly of myself. Going to a bar, like,
I mean, the way he acts is how I want to act all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, fucking dummies, stupids, everybody's an idiot except me. Shut up. And here the thing is, and if you get it right, you're lucky.
I still, hey, I'm still the guy who created Dilbert.
That's right.
Dipshit.
And I got more Twitter followers than you. So that's how I want to act.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jimmy. Who is this?
Jimmy, it's President Joe Biden.
Hey, Mr. President. What are you calling? You looking for your old documents again? Did you see Mike Pence found some, too? This is all very exciting. Yes.
No, goddammit. I didn't call to talk about these stupid documents. We talked about that the last 2 weeks, and I'm out of jokes about it.
Okay, well, I see where you call. What are you calling about, then?
Jimmy, I'm calling to announce that we are finalizing plans to send about 30 M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
Wow, and this comes just shortly after you said that this was off the table, that we weren't going to send them our advanced tank hardware because the training and maintenance support would simply be too much.
Exactly. And that's why I'm calling you. I want to get ahead of this one and say I changed my mind. Not that I was lying or anything.
Why did you change your mind?
Well, Mr. Z just really wanted some of those tanks.
Yep.
Said he couldn't live without them.
President Zelensky, I presume.
Yeah, Mr. Z. He's going to love these tanks so much. I just know it. I can't wait to see him riding around in one of them. His head sticking out of the cockpit with all the gear on, saluting. Just like Dukakis. What a great photo op that will be. Everyone will say, look how brave he is.
Yeah, Mr. President. This is a move that will further agitate the Kremlin, without a doubt. This will cause escalation of international tensions. Is this really a good idea?
Well, we had to do it.
Yeah.
You see, yeah, asshole. Fucking president. Give me some respect.
All right.
You see, Germany said they wouldn't send their Leopard tanks unless the U.S. promised some M1s first. So we broke that little stalemate there with our promise. So now Germany's sending the Leopards. And the U.K. have now pledged to send some of their Challenger tanks.
Wow, that's a lot of tanks.
It's raining tanks. Praise be, it's a miracle.
Yeah, quite. Why do they need all these tanks?
Because they say they do.
Yeah.
There's a big Russian onslaught coming, and they need these next generation tanks to deal with the onslaught. Jimmy, we can't let this defenseless Eastern European nation be caught in an onslaught without next generation tanks. We simply can't.
So where does this end, Joe?
What do you mean?
I mean, how far down the road is the U.S. willing to go to help defend Ukraine from the entire Russian military and Navy?
However far it takes.
You know, that's what we said once about Afghanistan, and look what happened there. You yourself oversaw our final shameful retreat that reminded many of Vietnam.
Exactly. That's my point. That's something that the president 20 years from now will have to deal with. I'll be fucking dead by then. Won't be my problem.
I mean, at what point do we stop sharing our military and all its resources with a foreign power? And all that money we're giving them to is Ukraine becoming a de facto territory of the United States with full access to our treasury and national defense?
But no. But when you put it like that, I guess it sort of seems bad.
Hold on, Mr. President. I'm getting another call. Hello, this is Jimmy Dore.
Zelensky, president of Ukraine.
Oh, Mr. Zelensky, I was just singing your praises.
No, that's not your line.
Hey, Mr. Z, I was just singing your praises.
Oh.
Shut up. Who is this man you talk with?
Oh, Jimmy, he's nobody. I swear, he's just a friend from work.
Oh, is that all I am?
I know like things you say to Joe. I declare you enemy of humanity. Joe. Yes? When are thanks come? I want thanks now. Oh, Mr. C, like I said, it's not going to be immediate. We need to train, send support material, and so on. Thanks now. And also, thanks very much. See? I am comedian in my country. But look, you have these German leopards on their way. They're right there. They're on your continent. I spit on leopard. I want Abrams. Best thing. I look online at specs. Abrams, most firepower. Zelensky, cannot wait to shoot. Gorgie. Gorgie. Send him now. I demand you.
Mr. President, are you really going to let him talk to you like this?
You shut up. You Russian asset, I decide this. I represent freedom to whole world.
No, Jimmy, it's fine. It really is. He's just excited and patriotic. Also, it's late there. I think he's sleepy.
Do not talk to me like baby. Are you to send tanks or no?
Of course, Mr. C. I'll get right on it. I'm sorry for the delay.
This is good. Now, let us talk how you say tactical nuclear warhead.
Whoa!
Mr. C, I can't.
Only as deterrent. Do not be pussy.
I can't let you have one of those. And come on, man. You and I both know you would use a nuke the second you got one.
Mr. President, I'm begging you, do not give President Zelensky tactical nuclear weapons.
But I want.
Jesus.
Jimmy, he makes a compelling argument.
No, he does not, in fact. I'm hanging up on him right now.
No.
Click.
Jimmy, why'd you do that? We were doing diplomacy.
No, you were showing the world how you're getting pushed around by a foreign leader who is bent on getting what he wants.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Look, I know what I'm doing. I'm playing 3D chess over here. Give me some credit.
I'm sorry. I'll not be platforming the next Iran-Contra scandal on the Jimmy Dore show.
Hey, now there's an idea.
Oh, jeez.
I may just have to have an underling at the Pentagon talk to the old Ayatollah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. You may have saved my ass. Until next time. And you never heard any of this.
Okay. Hey, become a premium member. Go to JimmyDoreComedy.com. Sign up. It's the most affordable premium program in the business. All the voices performed today are by the one and only, the inimitable Mike McRae. He can be found at MikeMcRae.com. That's it for this week. You be the best you can be, and I'll keep being me.
Do not freak out.